Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
That voice you heard was Kurt Cignetti, head coach, Indiana football. Only the head coach for the last 2 years. That was his introductory press conference. He's obviously very confident. Bordering on arrogant, I would say.
His introductory press conference.
Yeah.
Like day one.
Yep.
He'd only played at the coached at the lower levels, I'm guessing.
Yep.
I don't know where he was at before.
He's been
Indiana,
working his way up. James Madison. There was an IUP in there at some point. But he gets to Indiana.
I bet you there were some chuckles in the...
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
But he was arrogant. He was confident. Google him. He just wins. That was 2 years ago. Tomorrow night, the number one ranked Indiana Hoosiers.
football or basketball?
No, football. Not basketball. That's a basketball
And by
state.
The way, right. Andy, if you do Google him, the first article that comes up is a New York Times piece titled, "I Played for Kurt Cignetti. Yes, he's never happy. Here's why that's a good thing."
He's never happy, but the fans of his team are, the players on his team are, because in his first year, Ted Johnson, so he took over a 3-win football team. They won 3 games the year before he arrived, actually. You know how many games they won his first season? That would be 2024.
I don't know. I have no clue.
That'd be 11. That'd be 11 games.
Wow.
You know how many games they've won this year so far?
I think they've won every game, haven't they?
14. 14.
14.
25 wins in his first 2 years for the Indiana Hoosiers football team, not the basketball team.
Damn.
That matches Indiana football from the previous 5 years combined. They had 2 seasons, Ted, in which they'd won 6 or more games since 1993.
That's insane.
That's how bad that program is. Wait, what conference are they in? Is it an easy?
The Big Ten, baby.
Oh, so it's not just a walkover conference
that is
if you get
considered,
good?
Some people think it's better than the SEC.
So that means like Ohio State. That means Michigan. Oregon's in there now. Penn State's in there. Iowa's in there. So Kurt Cignetti, in 2 years, has won 25 games after taking over a 3-win program at Indiana. So let's compare that to a guy who seems like he's very arrogant and accomplished and confident, Bill Belichick. He took over at the University of North Carolina.
I'm glad you're doing this, not me.
Nope, it's not you. This is all me.
Wow.
Maybe I'm piling on or maybe I'm stating facts. I don't know.
Stating facts, I would think.
So some of the years before Bill Belichick arrived, they won 9 games, 8 games. 6 games was the low point, so they fired Mac Brown. Okay, you only won 6 games. You got to go. Bill Belichick won 4 games in his first year at the University of North Carolina. So I heard questions. Part of the reasoning was, he didn't know how to get talent or talent. Something. Did you know that there's 4 teams playing this week in the college football playoff? There's 4 teams. 3 of the 4 teams have a number of 5-star recruits. Do you know the one team that doesn't have any 5-star recruits?
Is that the Indiana Hoosiers?
Oh, that would be the 14-win Indiana Hoosiers. They have a Heisman quarterback. He just wasn't a 5-star recruit back in the day. So he doesn't have perceived the truly elite talent. Seems like he's a program builder. Seems like he's a winner. Seems like he's preparing guys in the right way. Maybe they don't always love him. Maybe he's tough to please based on the first article you found on Google.
Does he win?
He wins. Google him. He just wins. It's actually what he does.
And by the way, this is great.
This is interesting.
You deep dive it a little further on him. Ready for it? Here's his coaching resume, if you will. Served as head coach at Indiana University of Pennsylvania from 2011 to 2016.
Pennsylvania.
Then down to North Carolina to the football powerhouse that is Elon University.
Hey, they're in the CAA. Love them.
Then to James Madison.
People love that school, man.
They really do. One of my cousins went there and loved it. It's like the Ithaca of the South. People that go there are like, it's the greatest place on earth.
Yeah.
And then to James Madison before making his way to Indiana.
Probably. So no one thought he was the greatest coach of all time when he was hired at Indiana, but after 25 wins over two seasons, I bet you they think he's the greatest coach they've ever seen. I believe, Ted, they also gave him somewhere in the range of $90 million.
They gave him, after 2 years, an eight-year, $93 million
makes 11.6 million dollars average annual value.
And I believe he also has one of those kickers that if others pass him up, he always has to be like a top three paid coach or something.
Quick
question,
where does Indiana University get the money to pay Kurt Cignetti?
Mark Cuban's one of them. Apparently he's an alum.
Oh, is he an alum?
Apparently he's an alum that's putting some money into
the
program.
But can you imagine a school like Indiana all of a sudden has a great football program, like overnight? Like what that has to do to get your fan base and your student body like excited?
Yep.
Like, I mean, how many people are going to be? It's going to be harder. The rate to get in?
Yep.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be harder to go to school there now.
Absolutely,
because everybody's going to want to be going there. It raises your profile of your school so much. There's almost no money's enough, right? In a sense.
So how is it that Kurt Cignetti comes in and wins immediately at Indiana with tougher competition, theoretically lesser talent? And North Carolina brought in the greatest football coach in the history of the world, his million-dollar general manager in Mike Lombardi, who was going to make it an NFL program. He was building an NFL
33rd,
program. Yeah, the
33rd team.
The 33rd team.
Is that tone I detect?
It's a little bit of tone. Because both
so
these guys.
This is you, not me.
I just want to point out, I think both these men are very arrogant and overconfident and whatever. But one backs it up, right? Over the last 2 years, you can't back it up much better than Kurt Cignetti, right? And the other guy is, and he's saying, well, you know, it takes a few years to build. Well, does it take a few years to build a program? Because Kurt Cignetti just did it.
That's right.
He went from James Madison to Indiana to the national championship. He will be playing Friday night with a chance to go to the national championship game.
This can't be real. These guys are that. And then what they did to Alabama is like, poof, woo, baby.
The other thing I love about
him,
and this may actually be a little bit of a Belichickian thing, he brings all his guys with him. I believe both his offensive and defensive coordinator go all the way back to Elon. He's just been bumping them
to be, but not anymore, man.
Right.
He hasn't been that way in a long time.
Unless and your last name is Belichick.
Right. And there's inherent problems with that, right? So I just think that's a fascinating story.
I do, too, and I just think
good for him.
All the – and Stiz, I'd like to pull you in here, so the carrots and the celery that you're snacking on back there. You're the ultimate believer in Bill Belichick, right? The information that I just presented to you, that Kurt Cignetti, who I believe, since you never heard of Kirby Smart, I'm guessing you never heard of Kurt Cignetti. I believe you've never heard. He's won 25 games in his first 2 years at Indiana after they won three. How do you explain, rationalize, excuse that difference between Bill Belichick at North Carolina, Kurt Cignetti at Indiana?
I said it earlier in the year. I don't think that North Carolina paid all this money to Bill Belichick and crew thinking that in 1 year everything was going to turn around undefeated. I think the Bill Belichick he's building his program, and I think it takes time, and I think the administrators at North Carolina know that. So I think, you know, next year, the following year is going to be a big test. And, you know, a lot of season left.
So Belichick football teams are like barbecue, low and slow. We're going to build it low. Whereas Kurt Cignetti comes in with a flamethrower, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, wouldn't every school in America want to win 11 games right out the gates after winning three?
It's way better. It's much better to lose a bunch first to then build your way back up.
Are you implying that what Kurt Cignetti is doing is not sustainable, that he won't keep winning, that this is some, like, you know, burn hot, but burn out?
I'm saying it's not apples to apples.
Why isn't it? You're right.
You can't.
North Carolina was a much better team before Bill got there than Indiana was when Cignetti got there.
Uh-oh.
Stiz, did I lose you?
No, something's not working. He's pressing the button.
Was it fair to say that the Indiana, when he took over the Indiana program, had lesser players than North Carolina had?
Yes.
And is it fair to say that Indiana plays tougher competition than North Carolina does?
Ted, I'm glad you brought that up. That was the next thing I wanted to say is Bill Belichick has to go through Clemson, that's down.
Wait, Wake Forest, man. That's tough.
Wake Forest, you know? NC State,
Duke. Oh, wait. Oh, his whole goal was to beat Duke. Did he beat Duke?
But wait a minute. This Cignetti character, he was a college coach.
What is this, a mafia? You're not looking at
he
a mafia
He was a college
lineup.
Coach his whole career,
so
right?
that's the difference. That's
Bill,
the
this is
difference.
Bill's first year in the college program. He's
Hold
never
on a second.
Done it.
How
give
much
him a break.
Yeah. Stiz, but how much does the game change taking a step
NIL
down
NIL portals, trying to get people to come commit for your team, I would say it's a lot different.
So it's more like the pro game now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
The free agency. The college game is more like a pro game than it's ever
been. No, listen, I
first
remember
of all, yes, because Lombardi said that. Lombardi, your guy, your GM actually said
that. You should
that.
Be proud
But
of
I
you.
Remember at the beginning, before this North Carolina experiment got off, I remember
experiment?
You people.
A $50 million experiment?
You people saying, oh, this is, he thinks he's just going to go and succeed, and this is a whole different ball game. So you're saying two things out both sides of your mouth.
But I'm quoting them. And I actually agree with it. I do think college is—it's not the same as worse than the NFL, but it's more pro-like. It's agents.
You're negotiating contracts.
Contracts.
Do they
you
play
just
with
saw it? Today the Washington quarterback. His agent dropped him because he screwed it up and committed to them, and then wanted to go to the other. It's a lot like the NFL now. But the reality is, Bill went in there swinging his big. You know what? His $50 million
notebook.
Contract and his $1 million GM, and I want my son
and his 24-year-old
right,
you know,
and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Kurt Cignetti has Indiana playing for the right to be in the national championship. Mm-hmm. And my only point is, Bill can tell you, Stiz, and you can buy it. Not everybody will. That it's a slow build, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. You don't. You got to win quickly in college football, and Bill Belichick hasn't so far. But I did want to use this as the leaping off point to a quick discussion. I know we're in Boston, and we don't have any teams in the college football playoff. But if you look at the ratings, I told you this the other day, all the games were over like 20 million. Mm-hmm. These are fun games, the expanded playoff, four Nick Saban assistants, which, all right, I'm piling on now. So Nick Saban has assistant coaches that all of them are successful. All of them are successful.
All of them.
They're all vying
all
for a national championship.
All four coaches in this national championship come from the Saban tree.
Nick Saban also evolved with the times, realized you got to do more than play defense to win championships, started recruiting guys like Julio Jones and elite wide receivers to try to win with offense.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
He brought in offensive-minded coordinators.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. He didn't just hire the special teams. Right, no.
Right.
Instead of taking the special teams coach and making him.
He went and got
Lane Kiffin. Yeah. He went and got Steve Sarkisian.
Sable.
He wasn't offended.
Billy O'Brien went
Absolutely.
Down there.
Brought them all in. Is Nick Saban the best head football coach of this generation, and is it not even close based on all the factors? He won the championship, so don't get out of the ring.
Best head
whatever.
Football coach at the college level?
No.
No, in football. Football.
Football. Since we're now blending make the argument for Bill.
Bill Belichick won 6 Super Bowls.
With one guy, one coach.
Okay,
one
but it doesn't matter. That's
no, it matters.
One
quarterback.
But who's the best coach? Bill Belichick.
So Nick Saban, six titles?
How many different quarterbacks?
With a boatload.
But it's
some of them, he used two quarterbacks in the same run. He benched one and put the other in.
I mean,
I'll entertain all the Belichick slander as it relates to bad decision or Belichick debates, if you will, or Belichick criticisms in regards to his misgivings, bad decisions that he made along the way, ways that he treated former Alabama quarterbacks towards the end of his tenure in New England. But it's like this region or large factions of this region just completely forgot how good he was for a long stretch.
Bill's phenomenal head coach.
Saban's the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But Bill did it at the pro level, and I think the pro level was a little harder. And yes, he did it with a quarterback. Mm. Other elements of the roster changed, Ted.
I don't think it's harder. I don't. I think there's way more teams in college than there is in the pros. He did it with different quarterbacks, which Bill has not shown that he can do.
Saban didn't do much better at the pro level than Belichick has done thus far at the collegiate level.
I mean, that's fair to go into that, but yep. I think you can make an argument that Saban is the best football coach.
I do too.
I do.
And I think for whatever you value it, the fact that all these assistants go on to be like Kirby Smart is another Saban assistant. Like all these assistants go on to be really successful. Like if you included Lane Kiffin, he's going to be at LSU. He built a tree.
And would you say a coaching tree is one of the most important factors in determining who a great coach is the tree. Bill Walsh, great coach, coaching
great
tree.
Great tree.
Right?
Yeah.
Shanahan.
Well, there's two lines of thought there, because some people think it actually buffs up Belichick's success.
That Saban that his coaching assistants tree stink. Is
because if you think his assistants aren't good, it means he did everything. That's the line of thought for some people, right? Fair or not. They think all these guys fall on their faces when they leave Bill. That means Bill was the brains of the operation. That's how some people... I don't believe that. I think Nick Saban is preparing and helping. And Kurt Cignetti said, there was a quote this week, I learned more in one season with Nick Saban than I had in 27 years of assistant coaching. So those are the guys, take it from the horse. Yes,
isn't Saban, though, under Bill's tree?
Not really. He was already kind of established. They were young.
He was there with him in Cleveland.
He was his defensive coordinator in Cleveland. So, yes, if you want to play that game, your best play might be to say
they were
that.
Equals before
Wait,
that
now
at
you
Michigan
guys are
State.
Poo-pooing.
Bill Belichick has done it again.
Do you think Bill Belichick or the Nick Saban would say, I'm from the Bill Belichick tree?
No, I do not. And I don't even think, as arrogant as he is, if you could get truth serum, I don't think Belichick would say, he's from my tree.
Right.
Because he has said, I learned more from Nick working with him than I did the other way around kind of thing.
Can I give you one opinion on, on that, why I think there's a big difference between, what's his name, Cignetti?
Kurt Cignetti.
Kurt Cignetti and Belichick is, to be a really great college football coach, you got to motivate kids.
Right.
Like Belichick, he doesn't like to motivate. Like, you know, a little of the stuff with the parade route, okay, that's a little bit here and there, but the last thing he wants to do is motivate. College coaches always are focused on how to motivate and get the most out of their kids. And I don't think Bill has the time or the inclination to want to do that.
Right. 617-779-7937. We've elicited some reactions, at least from people named Brian. So let's go first to Brian in the car, wants to talk about Indiana. What's up, Brian?
What's going on, fellas? Shower beers, gentlemen, shower beers.
Thank you.
Just wanted to make an interesting point I saw on the old Facebook the other day was the age of the Indiana players. I saw a quick stat that they had numerous guys, right, 4, 5, 6 years of college experience. Ted, you just mentioned, you know, motivating kids. I don't think Indiana has too many kids on their roster. Just wanted to get you guys' thoughts as, you know, how much age at that level would play into it at 24 years old versus 18-year-old kids.
Thanks for the call, Brian. Yeah, I mean, there's old kids playing on a lot of these teams, and they all have the same opportunity. They were all available. Like, right now, they're all available in the portal.
Yeah.
I saw somebody just signed a 30-year-old punter from Australia from the portal, blah, blah, blah.
Crazy.
They were playing on the same equal playing field. And I got to think, prior to now, I don't know what it is now, Bill's budget was similar. Remember they were talking about how they doubled the investment? It was 20-something million dollars he was going to have to spend.
I heard 20, yeah.
Okay, so $20 million in the portal. Did he get return on investment? Because I'll tell you who did, Kurt Cignetti. Now, maybe you just say he was in the college game. It's not fair. Although, he was at James Madison. It's not like he was recruiting all these SEC players that he had played against.
They're a college football playoff powerhouse.
But it was still college football.
It's still college football.
So, yes, it is.
Can I just read a quick quote? From Nick Saban. Quote, Nick Saban, I think that working for Bill Belichick helped me the most in regard to building a strong coaching staff. Nope. He really was the first person that defined the expectation for what he wanted everybody in the organization to do, whether they were personnel, whether you were a coach, or whether a defensive coordinator. That made my job so much easier, and it made me grow as a coach because I knew exactly what was expected.
Okay, sure. There's no doubt in my mind Nick Saban learned something from Bill Belichick, just like... Bill Belichick learned something from Parcells. And
the AI overview says Bill Belichick holds immense respect for Nick Saban, viewing him as the best in football, having learned significantly from him about defense, man-to-man, 4-3, and program building during their time together in Cleveland.
Are you guys having an AI blank measuring contest?
Oh, my God. Are we really?
Is this an AI fight live on the air?
All right, this is Gemini versus Grok. Go.
All right, let's go back to the phones for another Brian. Brian in Tewksbury, what's up?
Hey, so I had a couple of points to make since you were just talking about the Saban thing. Bill got one first-round draft pick a year. Saban had, what, 11 on every team he coached? And I think Saban's great, but that's the difference between the college and the pro thing. Come on.
All right, thanks for the call, Brian. No, there's differences. I agree. There's definitely different landscapes. Now, I mean, Bill had those 11 first-round picks this past year and didn't use them very well. He treated them like his first-round picks in New England because he got no return on investment out of any of those 11 first-round picks at University of North Carolina. He was not able to turn the roster around.
Everybody knows the real values in the second round, right,
Chad? Yeah. The second-round value, baby. Unless it's Cincinnati, then you don't want that value. That's bad value for Cincinnati. 617-779-7937. College football playoffs are underway tonight. A game tomorrow. A game. Kurt Cignetti.
I'm interested.
Somebody from the Nick Saban coaching tree will be coaching one of the two teams tonight.
Okay,
Mario Cristobal.
Yeah,
for Miami. Yes,
he's... all four of them are. That's why we're talking about this.
Actually, no. Oh my God! And so is the other guy. Oh my God!
All four of them.
Unbelievable.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for joining us for the 4:30
segment. It's such an onslaught of Belichick negativity that eventually
you just
get drowned.
I didn't listen to it.
I went into space for a while.
617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls because, yes, we talked about Bill Belichick, and that means people like Stiz are going to get defensive. Wow. They got to defend their guy and his legacy. God forbid you admit anyone else is good. Your phone calls, a little more football chatter up next. 445, reminder, pending. Andrew Razor Raycroft here on WEEI Afternoons talking about those Bruins that are struggling a little bit. That's all next here on WEEI.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
BEI. Happy birthday to the late, great prince of music.
King, please.
Elvis Presley.
He's the king.
So, Stiz,
who's better, Saban or Elvis?
Stiz, you're a big Elvis guy, apparently. This is multiple rejoins honoring.
I like Elvis.
Okay. Oh, I do, too. A lot of people did. Okay, so we talked about Bill Belichick, the college football playoff, what he's doing at UNC. Different conversation now to start. Because, Fitzy, you asked Curran about it earlier. We asked Schefter about it. There's now 8 jobs open. In case you haven't heard, Mike McDaniel is out in Miami. We thought he would be, then we thought he wouldn't be, and now he is out in Miami.
They had him have a press conference where he said he's going to help with the GM process and then fired him basically the next day. Tough move out of the Dolphins.
Now, certainly, if you connect the dots and the reporting from Josina Anderson, it seems like, yeah, we're keeping Mike McDaniel. And then, oh, is John Harbaugh available? Mike, you're no longer being kept. Everybody thinks this is like one of those fait accompli things that he's just going to go to Miami. I don't know if that's true. The reports around John Harbaugh are not interviewing this week. He's going to wait. So some people took that to mean he's waiting to see if Sean McDermott gets fired.
Yeah. He should. Buffalo,
Packers,
to me, would be the spot.
Where did you want, right now, of the 8, what is the most desirable job of the 8?
Okay, not the ones that we think, but
yeah,
the
just
ones
like
that
the 8 definites.
Baltimore.
Everybody says Baltimore,
right?
I would say maybe even the Giants, though. I just think because of the brand, it's one of the more prestigious.
You got a quarterback, you got a running back. Hopefully,
you got a quarterback on a cheap deal that,
and a wide receiver if he heals. Of course, you heard the things about him on the cane with the knee brace and
their
everything.
Their 3 best players are injured.
Dinged up. Right.
I mean, that's a concern. I think you could argue just superficially the Raiders, because you have the number one pick, you're starting fresh.
Yes,
like there's
the number
whole
one
idea.
Pick. That's excellent. Yeah,
and do you have an
Mark
owner
Davis
who's paying 5 other coaches?
Davis and Brady. That could be.
Is Brady a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it could be a bad thing.
Pizza Hut.
Could it be any worse? Actually, no. It's actually. I can't imagine it being worse than it's been. Mark Davis at the helm has been a train wreck.
He has been a train wreck, as Fitzy alluded to. He's paying all these coaches, which kind of flies in the face of he doesn't have money. For a lot of years, people were like, Mark Davis doesn't really have money. Yeah. Well, he keeps paying $10 million a year
to
like
every fired
coach.
That looks like the stadium.
It looks like the stadium.
Oh, so
yeah,
he's
not hurting on money. No.
He made out on that jump from Oakland to Vegas.
Like, you see his girlfriend he's hanging out with? That's that can't be cheap.
Oh, it must be love.
Total love.
Absolute
sure.
love of something. But yes, so there's 8 openings now. Harbaugh is the hot candidate. Seems like everybody thinks he could have whatever job he wants. We don't know what might open after the weekend. Pittsburgh's another one that some people think if they lose, Tomlin could walk away.
Mm. That's you imagine a job. Going to your rival?
Well, I actually think that would be awesome. I think that would be awesome.
If he
I
takes,
actually think if you rotated awesome. The teams in the AFC North.
Tomlin goes and coaches the Ravens.
Tomlin or Tomlin goes to the Browns. Stefanski goes to the Ravens. Yeah. Harbaugh goes to the Steelers. Talk about the best violent division and rivalries in football.
Yeah. But Tomlin, so supposedly also Tomlin has a $10 to $15 million TV deal on the table, all buttoned up, ready to go.
I'd love him on TV,
and,
I think.
And also, if reports are true, so does Travis Kelsey.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them should walk away. Yeah. Like ASAMFP.
But for the coaching perspective, we've seen it so many times. Peyton did it 1 year, 2 years, and then boom,
great
goes
on
to Denver.
Fox.
But it doesn't matter. You stay in the spotlight. It actually
helps. You stay relevant. You got to stay relevant.
Yeah. It actually makes you a better
raises
candidate.
Raises your profile.
I think people forget you're on TV for a reason. Yeah. You're on TV because you got fired because you lost a job. But they forget, and they're like, this guy knows what he's talking about. Yeah. He's good. Yeah. Blah, 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 the whole thing. So, but let's tie it together. We talked about Bill Belichick. Will be Bill Belichick a candidate for any of these 8 or more jobs, if more jobs come available after the weekend? And we've talked about the Pelissero. If he does it, it'll be in the darkness of the night.
And the
he'll just all of a sudden say, Bill Belichick's the coach. But are there actually teams? Because Josina Anderson, I haven't heard any reporting from her on
this. It's been quiet. It's
been awful quiet.
Right, the season's
over. You
mean
ENN's Josina Anderson?
Yes. These reports were still with a game or two left in the college season.
And she had, he's still got supporters in front offices, and there's still multiple teams with interest and all these things. But is there any chance that Bill Belichick gets a job?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Zero.
I wouldn't say zero. I would say it's less than 50%. But I'd say zero.
I'd say zero.
Zero? What if Arthur Blank goes crazy and says, I'm going to do what I should have done last year. I'm going to move on Bill Belichick. I'm going to bring him in. He is going to right the wrongs. He's going to kick ass in here for me. And he's going to help us reverse the curse of 28-3. He could do something crazy. I mean,
Matt Ryan could say, you brought me in for a reason. That's a terrible
idea. By the way, it sounds like Matt Ryan's not going to do TV and this job. It feels like this job that he's taking is a full-time gig with the Falcons.
Originally, it sounded like he was trying to do both.
Right.
Now it sounds like he might just want to do that job.
And I will say this, one thing that did not help him at all, believe it or not, who was his contemporary at this point? Who was the other coach that coached this year?
Oh, Pete.
Yeah. Ooh. And how'd that turn out?
Week one was good for Pete in New England.
Yep.
He didn't,
that went well.
Pete didn't look like he was all, like, in it.
He was more in it than what Bill looks like at North Carolina.
Yeah. Pete doesn't have the shuffle feet, the old person
seasons.
Shuffle feet across the floor.
Oh, my God. Are we going to micromanage that Instagram video?
I saw the video. He had shuffle feet. It tells you something.
Did he really? Did he?
Oh, he had shuffle feet.
Couldn't lift it up?
Old
now
people shuffle
feet.
Is he wearing
feet?
The big Hokas?
Kind of. So we don't, like, Bill is at North Carolina for this year. Something doesn't feel right there. That he's just going to have a second year at North Carolina with no turmoil, changes.
Oh, there'll be turmoil
late
coming.
Exit.
He can't help himself.
Yeah, but doesn't a chew and screw also feel like wrong? Like they brought him in, spent all that money, and the guy just comes in for 1 year. Hey, it sucked. Bye.
Yeah, but they can mutually part ways. They can mutually.
Don't you think they would have
work?
By now? Like if he absolutely was going to be out, don't you think he would have been gone by now?
Yeah, because I don't think they want to fire him. But if he has his eye on a job and he can lure, let's say the Giants.
What's his about? It's like a $1 million. He's got to pay
million.
North Carolina.
Maybe it's less now. I don't even know if it's. But yes, it had dropped from 10 to 1. But let's say the Giants has always been that dream job, right? Right. He adores the family, the aura of the whatever. If they came available and they had any interest in him, I think he would jump ship on North Carolina like that. I don't think he would pause for a half a second to think about it. But I thought it was telling that Schefter told us yesterday, I haven't heard his name. Schefter said no one's asked, haven't heard. The name Bill Belichick has not come across his cell phone, his phone calls, his texts,
anything. Don't you think if he was being considered at all that we would know about it? Like
yes.
Bill wants that out there.
Yes.
He does. He wants us all to think he's He's in demand.
Unless Pelissero is right and it's the darkness of the night and boom, he's just going to be the head coach. Right? Like they
Maybe set it up for that. Because the last time he went through the process, it was public. We all knew it. And it was embarrassing that he didn't get the job. So maybe, just maybe, that's interesting that he might approach it differently if he had the opportunity, that he doesn't want anybody to know anything about him getting interviewed.
So here's a reminder. This is what Schefter said when we asked about Belichick yesterday.
I think he should, but I haven't heard his name. That's not to say he won't be, but I haven't heard his name yet. And he's been very firmly committed publicly to North Carolina. He said he's not leaving. I take Bill at his word. I have not heard or had a team ask me, hey, you know, what do you think of Bill? You know, anything like that. So I know that in this league, anything's always possible. And tomorrow we could hear that he's interviewing somewhere. Always possible. I haven't heard that yet at all. So I'm going to operate under the idea that that's not happening right now.
I think it'd just be doing more damage to his legacy. I do. Just leaving the kids up high and dry. I do. I think, Kyle, you commit for a year and then you leave.
But Ted, do you think any of these teams are considering Bill at all?
I don't.
If it's a small consideration, you think he's just completely not being considered?
I do. I just think this is offseason was such a mess for him at North Carolina. Just it was embarrassing. A lot of the stuff that went down. The circus is in town when Bill's there.
I disagree. I think there's a small chance, I do think he's on a list somewhere.
Has his name been brought up in a meeting?
Schefter just said He hears everything. Schefter hears everything in the league. And if Schefter hasn't heard his name, now you're right, Ted. Maybe we're putting everybody on the whiteboard. Every name you can think of, put it on the. Is he on that list?
Yeah, he's
maybe.
He's on.
And then
list.
When you start erasing people, he's like got reasons to be erased. Yeah. Dan Ball.
To me, I don't think there's a lot of football operations executives that are talking about him with much sincerity, but I think there are ownership groups that are thinking about Bill.
And bingo.
Looking at the...
Make a case. Make a case for him,
Nick
Fitzy.
Yep, him, you. The case for Bill Belichick right now is completely based on legacy. That's the thing. When Dan says there are ownership groups, there could be very wealthy consortiums of people out there that own an NFL team or want to try to bring some luster back, even though Bill took a lot of luster off his own name with his 2023 performance, the way things ended with the Patriots, as well as last year's dysfunctional season in North Carolina. The name Belichick still carries marquee value in my estimation in the eyes and minds of a lot of people around football, or at least the ones who I think you mentioned earlier in the show, Andy, a lot of times, maybe this was yesterday, said a lot of times these owners, they have a lot of money, but that doesn't mean they know a lot about football.
Yeah.
The people with a lot of money who may not know a lot about football might say, get me Belichick. There's still a little football left in him, and he is going to turn this program around.
That was your 3-point yesterday, Ted, that owners, not the smartest people.
No, I'm confused because the owners had all these owners that you're talking about that care about him and legacy had a chance to get him.
Might have been a little radioactive last year.
And he's less radioactive.
He could be more.
He slept in Chernobyl for a year.
What did our old pal used to say? Triple D, dumb, desperate, and douchey.
Yes.
That moves like that are made out of desperations.
I don't know that he's less toxic.
So him going to the NFL would all be based on just a dumb owner making a dumb decision to hire him.
A desperate owner making a decision based on previous performance, not on what they necessarily believe will be the future value. They could honestly be invested in the idea that Bill Belichick can find his fastball again, even though a lot of us think that while he still hasn't forgotten a lot about football, his best days are behind.
All right, 617-779-7937. We see you lining up to talk about Bill Belichick. We'll take some of those phone calls in a little bit. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is a Thursday. It is in the 4 o'clock hour. That means Razor will talk to us about the Boston Bruins, who are, well, they're kind of sinking like a stone, if we're being honest. So we'll get a Bruins update from Razor up next.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Here on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll go right to the guest line for our weekly chat with Andrew Razor Raycroft from Nesson. Razor is brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860. Happy New Year, Razor.
Gentlemen, Happy New Year. Yes, it's been a few weeks. Good to hear you.
Although, is it happy around the Bruins? Let's start with a nice general question. What's going on with the Bruins as they fall down the standings in the Atlantic, the East, and are kind of scuffling?
Yeah, I mean, they played bad in Seattle their last game of the road trip. They had a good opportunity. They had Seattle on a back-to-back, and they could have went in there and really made a great road trip. They were 2-1-1 on the trip prior to that. So they end up 500. I think they all would have taken 500. That's a tough trip after the holidays, et cetera. And now they have to make hay here with this five-game homestand. So, but, I mean, the standings are the standings. You literally, if with a win tonight, they'll move up five places. It's just right. So tight in the Eastern Conference. So, I think, like Marco Sturm talked about this morning, it's about playing the right way, and they want to get back to playing the right way after they didn't do that in their last game in Seattle. It's coming off the road, they flew all day yesterday. So tonight's a tough effort to get the energy level up, and then they go back-to-back with Eastern Conference teams on the weekend.
A little bit of a geeky dry stretch that we seem to be in after he was hottest goal scorer on the Bruins and one of the hottest names in hockey. What's up with that, Razor?
It just ebb and flow. I think it was, you know, he went basically 12 full months without going into a bit of a slump. And he hit two posts against Vancouver, so not only is he in a bit of a slump and not shooting the puck quite as often as I'd like him to, he's gotten snake bitten a little bit here in the last few days. So he talked about that this morning. Marco Sturm talked. They both talked about that this morning, in that you just have to keep shooting the puck and keep working through it. And the reality is, with the 15 months that Morgan Geekie's had in his life, it was bound to go a little slow at some point. And it, like all good pros, you put your head down and work harder in practice. He was on the ice longer than everyone this morning, and at some point that'll pay off, I think.
Hey, Razor, you know, Jeremy's been, you know, struggling a little bit as of late, and you wonder if maybe he's getting a little tired. You look at this, you know, his backup corpse is struggling too. Do you see the maybe the Bruins making a little change in the goalie room coming up anytime soon? What do you think about that?
I don't see a change, no, but Korpisalo's got a big start tonight. I thought he played. I thought he actually played really well in Buffalo. The game out of the holiday, they had terrible travel issues. I thought he was the only one who played a good game against Buffalo, but nonetheless, he lost again. And tonight's a big effort for him to get back in the win column. He's been playing okay. I think the Bruins want more from him. They said as much this morning. And for him, it's just a big start again to get this homestead going in the right direction. Korpisalo is going to be a big part of the next 3 weeks with Jeremy Swayman going to the Olympics. They're going to have to find a little bit of rest for him before he goes out there. And it'll be on Korpi to find that for them.
Nesson's Andrew Raycroft here on WEEI Afternoons. Razor, it would seem that penalties and the penalty kill are kind of a combined issue for this team right now. I've heard them talk about penalties. I've heard Marco Sturm talk about it a little bit. What's the solution? I mean, it's easy for me to say stop getting so many penalties, but how do you actually get there?
Well, I'm kind of saying the same thing, too. And like, that's where they're at. For me, the past 3 weeks have all been all about the amount of penalties they're taking. It's impossible to get offense going. It's impossible to have a good penalty kill when you're shorthanded six times a night, because at some point the puck goes in. The other team's trying to score and they have pro players on the power plays. At some point, no matter how good your PK is, you're giving up chances and you're giving up goals. So for me, it really is the number one issue. To how you fix it, I think there has to be a mandate. First and foremost, we're just not doing it. We'll give up a little aggressiveness at times, especially in the offensive zone. I mean, the other night, taking a slashing penalty 200 feet away with a minute 30 left in the second period when you're in a one-goal game on the road, it crushes you. So I don't know. Other than the mandate and other than some accountability and other than individuals just deciding I'm not going to put my stick in a place where I can take a penalty, that's basically it. But they've talked a lot about it, and rightly so, because it's been killing them.
So, Razor, today is January 8th. We are a week away from the big Z number retirement at the Garden. Obviously, that's going to be a very special night. Where do you put him in the pantheon of great all-time Bruins? Not just defensemen. Obviously, there's just a history of incredible defensemen that played for the Bruins and put on the black and gold sweater. But where do you put him in the pantheon of great all-time Bruins?
Oof, it's a good one. So, I've got Bobby. Bobby's 1-1-1.
Attaboy.
And then you have Bergeron and Ray they can tie for second. I think Cam's third, so my issue is, guys, is like Jerry Cheevers isn't up there, but Jerry Cheevers for me is probably the most important. Like, he was, when I was 19, 18, he was coming to, like, he's my guy. So I put him up there much higher than everyone else. But at the end of the day, to answer the question, I guess, he is top five because of what he did, because of his dedication, because of his culture changing, and then, of course, the Cup in 11 and how dominant he was, especially that season, but all the seasons around it. So I'll put Z in the top five. I'll put him fourth or fifth, right in behind Cam, Ray, and Patrice.
Okay, Razor, I'm just curious. I'm doing some reading on some of the moves that Sturm has been making after this road trip, and it looks like he's putting Geeky down at the third line, Pasta up to the first line. I'm just curious, just your thoughts on lineup changes. Is this what the team needs at this point, just to shake it up?
Yeah, I think he's trying to find a little bit of something. I think he's been. I wouldn't be surprised though to see him go back to Geeky, Lindholm, Pasta throughout the game. He seems to be doing that after a lot of the power play or the penalty kills. Obviously, Lindholm kills usually first, and then David and Geeky don't, so they jump out there at the end of the penalty. I think he's just trying to find some depth, and he's trying to find the second line's been very good. Zacha's line, Corrali's line's been a staple with the two mooses on either side. And then the first and the third, he's just kind of been flipping guys around, trying to find that little bit of something.
So, Razor, down in St. Louis, there's a lot going on. So this might be a two-part question. But first of all, did Jim Montgomery try to pull Jordan Binnington, and did he refuse to be pulled? Is that a thing that happens in hockey? Have you ever seen that? Have you done that? What happened there?
No, I've never done. I wish I had at some point. Just you have issues with coaches at different times, and that's a pretty good one. Like, he can't come out on the ice and get you. obviously, you're gonna have words afterwards. But that's what it looked like. And the best part of it was that it looked like Joel Hofer was in on it too, the backup goaltender. It looked like those two guys have decided, listen, we're not letting this guy pull us anymore. If I'm in or you're in, don't show your face. He was hiding back in the dressing room. Love to have been a fly on the wall after in Monty's room, knowing the kind of person that Monty is and how emotional he is. I'm sure that was quite interesting last night.
So was that the beginning of the end for Monty in St. Louis? Is he on thin ice? Pardon the pun.
I can't see it. I mean, he signed a 5-year deal for $4 or $5 million a year, and they obviously went well out of their way to bring him in. I think it's certainly a microcosm of where they're at this season. They're changing general managers at the end of the season. There's the transition period going on there. I don't see Monty getting fired, but you can certainly see how there's some there's going to be a few more combustible issues here if they don't get in front of this sooner than later. Because I don't think Binnington's going anywhere either. He's on the Canadian Olympic team. He's a Stanley Cup winner for them. He's kind of like his number's going in the Raptors. He's their Jared right. Cheevers. So very interesting situation what's going on out there in St. Louis.
All right, now it's my favorite part of this interview. I know it's yours. Calgary tonight. Is this must? Calgary, not a very good team. I think the worst road team in hockey.
Yep.
How does this play out? Is this a must win? Is this a get-right game?
It's a get-right game. I certainly we won't do must wins at this time of the, you know, at this point with 38 left. But it is a get-right game. Start the home stretch off here, the home standoff real well. Low scoring game. I'll give the Bruins a 4-2 win with an empty netter. How about that?
All right, I'll take Calgary 8-6 then.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right.
That's what I would suggest.
All right, Razor. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Razor.
Love it, guys. Can't wait.
Thanks, buddy.
Razor. Andrew Razor Raycroft.
Probably fired up for that Pats game Sunday, just like everyone else.
Well, right? I was going to do the, Razor, I got to ask you, Drake made the MVP, but I was like, I'm not going to put him on the spot.
Come on.
I don't know.
He would have had a thought.
He absolutely would have. Yeah. He absolutely would have had a thought. He had thoughts on the Bruins. I did enjoy the fact that he's like, yeah, the penalties are killing him, and they have to stop, and he needs to tell them to stop, and that's really the only answer there is because they won't stop with them. So that's concerning that Razor doesn't really have an idea as the hockey guy and been around a lot of teams. So 617-779-7937. We'll still take your phone calls. Bill Belichick, the coaching carousel. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, time for the drive. That means we're going to talk about Drake May. We did what if the Patriots lose? How about for Drake May? What if the Patriots lose, and what if Drake May is a part of the reason, a big part of the reason they lose? How does that affect the way his season is viewed and his young legacy in the National Football League? The Drive is up next here on WEEI.